All right, this is MSC 16, the SharePoint Business Intelligence Overview. Now, I've got a couple of fair warnings here. Thing number one, the BI story in 2010 is massive. One session can't do it justice. In fact, at the coming out party for SharePoint in Las Vegas late last year, there was no session like this. There was a whole track of somewhere between 10 and 15, I forget the exact count, sessions that covered lots of different areas of business intelligence. I'm going to try very hard to try and bring it all together in a one-hour session. But the session content from the SharePoint conference is online, and you can get to it in a downloadable fashion. Also, there's a ton of information on Microsoft.com under business intelligence. So I'm going to try, but if somebody was expecting A to Z covering every single thing, I will disappoint you, and I apologize in advance. But what I am going to do is give you what I hope to be a pretty good picture about what's happening, and I'll talk about other products, because really the business intelligence story from Microsoft is not limited to one product. In fact, it's a multi-product thing. There are Office client technologies, especially Excel. There's a bunch of stuff happening within the SharePoint teams. There is no one SharePoint team, by the way. There are lots of different teams that work on different pieces of the product. So the Excel services team, the Access services team, the Visio services team, the Performance Point services team, they're all involved in this. And one of the big players in all of this is the SQL Server team. In fact, the 100-level session on BI at the SharePoint conference was actually run by SQL Server guys. They used Excel and SharePoint for all their demos. It was great, but yeah, there's an amazing amount of people arm in arm swinging back and forth singing kumbaya about the business intelligence story. You benefit from all of this because everything Microsoft is doing for BI is to simplify it and make it accessible to quote unquote, the masses. So here's the agenda for today. It's a pretty dense session. I'm going to have time at the end for a demo. It won't be the longest demo in the world. In fact, I'm going to cherry pick a few things from the normal scripted thing we do that does a realistic story about someone doing sales analyses and inventory analyses and so on. I'll show you some of the technology in action, but for me to cover everything that's going on, there just won't be time. So there will be a demo. I'm going to hold it till the end. I want to explain the technology and what's going on first. I'll talk in general about the BI stack. I'll also talk specifically about what's being done in SharePoint 2010, especially with Performance Point services and Excel services. Are there any ProClarity people in the room? Okay. We'll talk there is something called ProClarity. It was a third-party analysis tool for business intelligence data or multidimensional data. Pretty nice tool, by the way, and Microsoft bought it a few years ago. I'll talk about what the fate of the ProClarity technology is in the 2010 era. We'll also have some additional resources, and then, of course, I will have a demo. Now, a couple of ground rules. I don't mind being interrupted with questions. So if you've got a question and it actually fits where we are in the talk, I'm happy to answer it right away. If it's something that I'm going to be covering at the later on in the talk, I'll just tell you that and keep going. But actually, I know that not everyone in the audience is Dutch, but 500 of the 700 attendees are Dutch, and my past experience is you're not shy people. It'll you got a question, you'll ask it, which is good. It's exactly what I want. Okay, so trends in business intelligence. You know, up until very, very recently, I wouldn't BI 1.0, I mean, that's right, it is BI 1.0, but it's been BI 1.0 for more than a decade. When we thought about business intelligence, we were talking about staging data and finding a way to get it queryable by specialists. And it was the job of IT to own that data, manage it, stage it, make it available. In fact, BI 0.0 is probably way back in the day when IT actually ran the reports themselves based on customer requirements. But even in the day when IT staged data and carefully managed it, it still was all about providing access to data. It wasn't necessarily about getting something done with that data. BI 2.0 is all about the business owning the data. IT still has to manage it because stuff needs to be backed up, stuff needs to be rendered intelligently. And for that matter, if data's getting old, but people are still using it as if it's still current and gospel, that's a problem. So IT still has a governance role that needs to be done, but the IT no longer has to be a bottleneck in the process. Being agile, this is a really good example. A lot of managers will get data sliced and diced in any of a number of ways, but the moment they ask for data broken down in a way that hasn't been prepared in advance, what happens is the analysts sort of walk, say, we can get that for you, give us a couple of days, they walk out of the room and say, he did it again. And so they have to go stage that data in a whole new way. The data exists, it's available, but they may need to rejig some tables, they may need to create some new cubes, they may need to do a whole bunch of other things. We can do better than that. It needs to be flexible. And then here's the last part, and this is really what Microsoft is extremely focused on in SharePoint and Office 2010, collaborative. It's not enough to be able to analyze data. You have to be able to do things with that data. Collaborative decision making is the concept that the Gartner Group is putting forward as the next big thing. And what Microsoft views as collaborative decision making is taking BI data and doing things with it. So it's nice to glean insights, but if you can't immediately turn that into something to communicate with or create decisions, you're not realizing your potential. So today's business intelligence challenges. There are challenges with decision making. Information's not usable by the business. Many systems and tools aren't integrated the way people would like. And it requires IT to create and manage and change. Organizations can't get as much done. It's hard to find the right information. More than, darn, I had this quote at my fingertips yesterday and I'm forgetting exactly what it was. 80% of the individuals in an average company don't, give or take 5% or something like that, don't have the data they need to do their jobs. The data exists, they just can't find it. Or they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with it, even if it is at their fingertips, because the tools for manipulating it are too difficult. There are different versions of the truth, and communication is not facilitated by this. And I'm not blaming IT for this. IT's got a hard enough job as it stands. They've got lots of platforms to support. They've got lots of facilities that need to be maintained. It's hard to scale depending on what you're investing in, and in a global universe, there's no downtime in which you can rebuild cubes easily or re-query a lot of data or harvest a lot of data easily. It's a real pain in the you-know-what. Well, along comes the investments Microsoft is making in 2010. Obviously, the star of the show, in my personal opinion, is SharePoint 2010. And this is the new pie, and we're going to talk specifically about what's happening in the insights slicing this pie right now. So, business intelligence in SharePoint 2010. The idea is to get the data to you so that you can do something with it. So, you will see in a lot of the scorecarding and dashboards and Excel services render technologies and such, the ability to take that data and do something with it, not just passively analyze it. The idea is to make the organization a whole lot more effective and to make IT a lot more efficient. So if IT can govern the process but not have to actually take part in the day-to-day operations, everybody wins. The idea is to get at the data, discover things going on, collaborate on what you see, do all that in a self-service fashion, and then form some new insights. The investments that have been done for IT pros. You've got a couple of things. In web server land, there's overload prevention to keep bottlenecks from taking place. There's prioritization of services. There are a whole bunch of things that have been done. That session that is happening at the moment about service applications, performance point services, Excel services, and so on, they're all service apps. Service apps are the successor to what have been called shared services in the currently shipping release of SharePoint. The nice thing about service apps is they're extremely controllable, extremely manageable, and they act as a native piece of SharePoint. So you want to offload it to another server, you can. Combine it in another place, not a problem. Security's all integrated. Lots of things have been done to make it very, very intelligent. And you can add new ones of your own. On the application servers, multiple servers, automatic failover, things have been done along those lines. And on database servers, there's data mirroring, there's granular backup and restore. These are all things that have been done to make IT's life easier, to work with that data and work with those services and be able to maintain service level agreements. No downtime. Very few bottlenecks, if any. Knock on wood. So, standards do matter. Microsoft definitely does care about the darn things. And the nice thing about it is all of these have the potential to factor into a business intelligence solution. So, out-of-box accessibility with worldwide standards when developing solutions or publishing solutions, all of these actually could factor in as sources of data or tools used to manipulate that data. If you want to grab data itself, ODBC, OLAdB, OpenXML, they're all there. You want to grab XML sources, there are lots of different standards to choose from. If you believe in web services, well, Microsoft does too, except there's more than one way of doing that. So there's SOAP and there's REST, discovering them, UDDI. There are long, if you like to grab user interfaces from other places, there's WSRP. There are so many different ways to grab data and bring them all in to organize business dashboards. The nice thing about it is Microsoft is able to combine all of these in SharePoint and document the process in the entire way. In terms of developer investments, a lot of things have been done here. So there is a web part designer tool. Does anyone remember the smart part? The thing that Patrick Tissigam and Jan Tielens did at UTU and created, that was a way for you to draw out a web part as if it were a user control, and then they had a magic server control that would use reflection to figure out what was going on and then deploy it in a nice way. That functionality is finally built into the product. And there's a visual designer for creating web parts called the Web Part Designer. There's also a workflow designer built into Visual Studio. There's also a packaging explorer that makes it a whole lot easier to deploy solutions. You've got essentially virtually everything in SharePoint has an extensibility story now. And you can import solutions from SharePoint Designer and other products. So if something has been built in a declarative fashion, it can be turned into code if you've got a motivation to do that. And if you built a sandbox solution, the odds of it being migrated to something a bit more ambitious, they're actually quite good. Now, here's the specific set of technologies we're talking about. Did anyone use Performance Point Server in the current release? Great. I see four, five, six hands. You guys are great. Love you for that. We loved Performance Point Services a lot, but it didn't seem to get as much attention as we would have liked. Baking that functionality into SharePoint itself, I think, is going to be a big win across the board. Here's the deal. The most important new thing, I think, is Performance Point Services is in the box. The second coolest thing, I think, is the improvements made to Excel services, excuse me. But other things that have been done, there are charting web parts that came from Dundas and then have since been extensively enhanced. And there's also something called Visio Services. Great technology. Basically, it can render Visio models visually in the web. In fact, I'll show you an example of that in a few moments. improved. Excel Services gets a lot better in several ways. Status indicators as to how things are going, and business connectivity services factoring in. Did anyone try to use the BDC in the current release? Keep your hand up for a second. You can lower it if you found it easy. Wait a second. You guys found it easy? Okay. That's all right. That was a silly game. Business connectivity services is a lot more powerful and a lot easier to use, and there's a visual designer for it inside of SharePoint Designer. It's good, good stuff. And the nice thing about it is all those efforts actually fit together now. There wasn't really a linkage in the 2007 era between Excel services and the business data catalog, or for that matter, search, or for that matter, a bunch of other things. A lot of those service applications in 2010 actually know about each other and can pass data between each other very nicely. So let's go ahead and, show you how this all fits together in a nice little block diagram. So the insights slice of the SharePoint pie is made out of these technologies. And from a licensing point of view, again, I'm not prepared to talk extreme detail about this, but these are generally enterprise client access license technologies. I actually know this to be true, although pieces of business connectivity services are very much present in just plain old SharePoint Foundation. Yes, sir. Access services is absolutely in the enterprise client access license. It shows up under composites or as part of collab. It doesn't show up in insights, although there's no reason why it couldn't. But usually it's considered as part of the composite application, the slice, or part of the sites, like a specific vertical solution built on data. Access services is designed to surface an access database application inside of a SharePoint site. So the forms and reports become pages and lists and libraries. The data becomes persisted inside of SharePoint lists. The whole thing gets generated out of access and becomes a standalone SharePoint site. Those could in turn be data sources to be used inside of business intelligence or insight applications, but more as a source of data, not so much as a vehicle for gathering together a lot of data from a lot of places and analyzing it. You could, but it's just classified in a different place, and it's not really my decision to make. But key platform services, everything happening in .NET, the application model, the packaging vehicles, the security, the deployment, the programmability. There are browser clients, there are Office clients, SharePoint Designer is a client, and Visual Studio is a client. And the idea is, remember I talked this morning about there being one site foundation that could deliver lots of sites for lots of purposes? All of this runs inside of the SharePoint environment. You combine SQL Server technology with Office and SharePoint technology, and you no longer need to have a lot of one-off products that do specialized things and have challenges talking to each other or fighting for resources or making you spin up server after server after server. I forgot to blank that deck. Let's talk specifically about performance point services. So, one of the big improvements has been in manageability. Instead of being a specialized solution built on top of SharePoint technology, Performance Point Services is now a service application. It uses the same infrastructure, the same framework as everything else inside of SharePoint. And along with all that, you can script it with PowerShell, the same administration tools that you use for everything else apply to Performance Point. So, fewer things to have to deal with, fewer things to have to learn. It's just SharePoint. This is a picture of the Performance Point service application settings inside of the normal SharePoint Central admin. The repository that's going to be used, it is now based on SharePoint lists. You can back up everything happening inside of Performance Point services using SharePoint. And you've got versioning, you've got rating of content, Did you know that just about everything inside SharePoint now can be rated, tagged? It's not just in a formal taxonomy fashion. There's you can also do social tagging on anything, which means if a lot of people like a particular business model, you can vote for it. And you can find out different ways to reward people that do clever things or find particular techniques and models and sources of data that are useful to a lot of people. So the fact that it's persisted in SharePoint isn't just to simplify infrastructure. By being packaged into SharePoint, you get all the other infrastructure benefits at the same time. The business, yes?
Is there no need for the full-point designer?
I'm sorry?
Well,
pieces of what you would call performance point designer still live on, but they've been morphed around a little bit. There's a dashboard designer, and there are a few other things. But in essence, there are fewer specialized tools. There's a lot of stuff that's just part of SharePoint now.
Yeah, so you can define a KPI in lists, but you can also do
design. You can define simple KPIs in lists, and you can do very complex KPIs inside the designer. But the nice thing is, if you've got the enterprise client access license, you've got all of that. In the past, before when it was a separate product, KPIs were still an enterprise client access license technology, but it was just a simple thing. You could a key performance indicator was basically a query of either a SharePoint list or a cell out of an Excel spreadsheet or a query to a database or a manually input value compared to a fixed set of criteria. Performance Point Services is much more intelligent about how it grabs data, how it can transform it before and after displaying it, how it can evaluate that against criteria. It's incredibly clever, clever stuff. And there's an extensibility story for developers around all of that. So a BI center is a new type of site template. It's a unified business intelligence site. So you get samples and tips to getting started, and you can drill into specific product areas. There we go. Scorecards. Now, these are pages within individual sites and whatnot. You can have multiple actual values. You can have variances between them. You can have key performance indicators on column data, not just the overall row. You can have dynamic hierarchies and navigation. Essentially, you've got multi-dimensional data. You can slice it and dice it any way you see fit. Essentially, pivot tables and depending on the circumstances, MDX queries across the board all over the place for lots of things. There's a noticeable delay between when I tap the space bar and when the new slide appears. Scorecards. All right. Calculated metrics become very easy now. You can get them from start looking very Excel-like in that regard. You get scorecard hierarchies, too, that are available for filters. In fact, almost everything you're doing that generates data can wind up being input for something else. So there's something I'll talk about a bit more called Power Pivot that can use almost everything as a data source. But scorecards are effectively lists. They can be used as inputs for other things or query using object models. Lots and lots of things you build can wind up showing up as data sets for other kinds of things. So the idea is a ton of information exists out there as spreadsheets, as pre-calculated work. There will be ways in 2010 to grab data from multiple sources and unify it all and make it queryable from one place. And, wow, there we go. So there's a new kind of report called a KPI detail report. This allows you to apply filters. You can look at the KPI name and description and properties. You can get metrics and trends on all of that. Many, many options. You've got calculations and variances and comments and accountability, and you can extend it. If all you ever saw for KPIs was what was present in the eCal in SharePoint server, this is orders of magnitude more sophisticated than that, and it's present in every copy of SharePoint with an eCal going forward. In addition to that, there's improved analysis and insight. So there are new kinds of views of data. So here's a decomposition view, where you start with a value, break it down by a particular criterion, then select something and break it down even further and expand it. I'll actually show this to you in action in a little bit. But the interactive drill down, where you can explode a view at multiple dimensions, allows you to navigate through information in many different ways. You've got a lot of choices as to how you want to slice data going forward. If you like tables, you can have tables. If you like pivots, you can have pivots. If you like these kinds of decomposition views, you can get it that way. You'll get the data you need in a way that's useful to you. The dashboard designer, which is, I think, one of the things you were asking about, sir. This is a way to there's a way to register a wide variety of data sources. They show up in the dashboard designer, and you can use them to create new business dashboards. You can aggregate data sources and content, put them all together, assemble web part pages out of them. I mean, a dashboard is ultimately a web part page with some very clever web parts involved. There's a lot of new Silverlight technology employed in all of this to make it extremely powerful, even though we're still talking about web pages and doing a lot of nice work in a browser. And remember, top-level browser support inside of SharePoint 2010 includes not just Internet Explorer, but Firefox. So if you were worried about cross-platform concerns, you're going to have a much better time next time than currently. You can create content once, register it in the dashboard designer, and then reuse that across multiple dashboards. Essentially, if you need to deploy something from one location to another location, it's a central repository of data sources and content. One-click deploy and publish, and it's one common infrastructure that's just simply part of SharePoint. So compare that with an approach where you've got specialized multidimensional data stores, specialized dashboarding facilities, specialized portal products and everything. It's all just SharePoint here. The right kind of services bound to the right kind of data. Here's an example of pieces of the dashboard designer in action. You create, you're inside the dashboard designer here, one-click publishing to SharePoint, right there, deploy to SharePoint. The reports are much easier to create, and laying them out is a whole lot more visual and interactive. Analytic reports, you've got, well, all the options that you used to have and a few more extra. So you've got improved numeric formatting and charting. You've got new kinds of charts and visuals and so on. Analysis services formatting, that's also an option that wasn't possible in the past. And then filters. Filters are now common things that can be reused across multiple dashboards. They are compatible with SharePoint filters. So if you need to have, like for example, here's a good, today filtering exists inside of SharePoint. If I'm creating a report center, for example, it's possible for me to create a web part that is a filter that allows you to specify, say, region equals EMEA. And that would send out a common instruction to the entire page, and every other web part on that page could adapt accordingly. The thing that set it apart from normal web part connections is that filters would more or less, when that happened, every filtering criterion would be gathered together, set up as a two-dimensional matrix, filter and criterion, and then handed to all the other web parts on the page through connections. And then those other web parts would then choose to obey or ignore the filtering criteria they were sent. So it was a very open-ended way that didn't require two web parts to understand each other in advance. Very, very handy, and that's extended to be more shareable. And then there's also time-intelligent features for multiple data sources in case you're trying to reconcile slight differences in time and so on. Strategy maps, this is a new kind of thing. There's an improved control of the web part display for these kinds of things. You also have scorecard field linking versus linking to them as a KPI. So it's four-bit. You want to reduce the total amount of custom code necessary So, ratio and aggregate KPIs. You've got dynamic hierarchies. You've got top 10, bottom 20 type filters without having to write MDX code. The team looked at the most common kinds of filtering criteria that were being applied to users of Performance Point and SharePoint itself, and they wound up making a lot of those to standard methods that were available when you right-clicked on a column or right-clicked on a bar in a bar chart or all those kinds of things. So it's still possible to do everything the hard way, but a lot of the common tasks have been automated so that you just have to click in order to get something done. You can move content into SharePoint using a wizard. So if you've already invested in Performance Point, there is a story to get everything moved into SharePoint 2010. There's an in-place migration story and an in-place update story and a cross-product migration story. The publishing scenario, use the dashboard designer, publish content from 2007 to 2010, and then you can just start navigating through sites. Programmability, it's a service app. First class objects in Performance Point are now content types. Remember I said we were storing everything inside of SharePoint lists? Well, first class objects like sale or customer or region or all of those things are now official content types within the SharePoint content hierarchy, which means you can associate a lot of metadata with individual objects and so on. It also means that you can use native SharePoint capabilities to manage all of that data in a very happy way. Server extensions, they're authored the same way you did it in version 1. The dashboard designer, however, is no longer directly extensible, but everything you'd use to design dashboards is now published in an API, so you can create a custom editor for it. And there are new tools for deploying those custom extensions. They replace dashboard designer extensions. It mitigates the need to redesign the dashboard designer every time you want to add something to it, and it simplifies the SDK. Not a lot of time to go into this in great detail, but it is ultimately a happier way to get this sort of stuff done. Under server extensions, users can now create custom scorecard pre-query, post-query, and pre-render transformations on all the data being harvested from other places. One of the great things about Performance Point Server or Performance Point Services is its ability to go fetch data from other places, manipulate it, stage it, and present it to you in a way that doesn't require you to do direct queries every single time. And it will also alert you to when something has gone horribly, horribly wrong, or when a particular goal has been achieved, and all that kind of good stuff. Well, now if you've got customized ways that you want to massage that data after it's been fetched or just before it gets displayed, it's very, very doable. And custom extensions can be identified by content types and subtypes. And for hardcore BI people, you're likely to start creating a bunch of extensions, so being able to sift through them and organize them in a catalog, it's a very handy thing. Some things were retired. No two ways about it. Office web components. Those ActiveX controls that have been around since 2003. Actually, they might go back earlier than that. Do you remember, Bart? Okay. The Office web components were simplified little ActiveX controls that could render pieces of spreadsheets or pieces of other things. They're gone, with charts or with tables. There is support for SQL Server 2000, including analysis service. Oh, I'm sorry, no, those are gone. No more support for SQL Server 2000. That's including SQL Server 2000's analysis services and reporting services. You've got to use 2005 or 2008 or 2008 R2. The predictive capabilities and trend charts from the Office Web Components, those are gone. There are other ways to achieve the same effect, but if you were fond of those Office Web Components, I'm sorry, they're finally gone. ODBC connectivity. Use ADO.NET or OLADB or something, but no more ODBC, and there's no 32-bit server. Everything inside of SharePoint is now, on the server side, is now 64-bit. All right, here's what's happening with Excel services. I actually am really excited about this stuff because I actually found Excel services to be a secret weapon in many ways, especially because you could build a complex model and turn it into a web service like that. I don't think nearly enough people took advantage of that, but it was a really, really cool, useful thing. You can now publish entire workbooks or just parts of it using business intelligence or in a business intelligence dashboard. You can, let's see, there's improved performance and streamlined administration. You can manage spreadsheets using PowerShell scripts, lots of other things. Better tier one browser support, so I already mentioned Firefox. In many pieces of the SharePoint universe, Safari is even being supported. I don't know if they're doing extensive testing with Google Chrome, but by and large across the board, there's a very serious effort to make sure things render properly in lots of different browsers. There's now improved programmability in terms of user-defined functions, better web services. There's a REST API and a JavaScript API. More on that in a couple of slides. You can load more workbooks now and bigger workbooks by default. You can also massage that a little bit with settings. Cached values for unsupported features. So here's the deal. Who tried to use Excel services in the current release? There are certain workbooks that just couldn't load. They had funky formulae that Excel services didn't understand, or they had macros that Excel services didn't understand. There were a bunch of things that were legal in Excel, but not legal in Excel services. Now, thanks to the fact that Excel at least stores values, when you recalc, it'll update the values, but it doesn't just store the formulas, it stores the last known calculation of that formula. If Excel services encounters a spreadsheet that has a formula it doesn't understand, it'll at least display the cached value from the last time it was calculated in an actual copy of Excel. It also supports XSLB and XSLSM formats, not just XSLX. XLSX. Sorry about that. More stuff loads in more formats with more kinds of data in lots of ways. Let's see. Other fun things that were done. Interactive pivot tables and sorting and filtering. Absolutely possible. Visual slicers. They aren't just on the client anymore. You're going to show slicers?
Yes.
Cool. If I've got time, I'll show them a little bit. But Excel has lots of different. Pivot tables are great, but pivot tables still had you clicking around a lot in cells. You could establish certain filters, but again, imagine being able to just throw a panel on a spreadsheet to suddenly click one button and drill and hide everything except the stuff that meets those criteria. Those are called slicers. Excel has them now. Excel Services has them as well. And new Power Pivot support. I don't have slides on Power Pivot, but there's plenty of information out there on powerpivot.com, which will take you to a place on Microsoft.com. But Power Pivot is great, great stuff. It's actually fairly easy to explain in the long run, even though I don't know if anyone's tried to explain it the following way. Power Pivot turns massive data sets into what might as well be documents. And again, I don't work for Microsoft. I can take liberties with the elegance of the product. But what Power Pivot can do is point to a wide variety of data services in many places. Those could be SQL Server Reporting Services reports. Those could be spreadsheets. Those could be tabular data sources. They can come from many, many, many places and stage them into what might as well be an offline cache of an analysis services cube. The compression algorithms and the techniques they're using can get a row of data down to 1.5 bytes. It's amazingly efficient and still amazingly fast. More than 1 million rows or more than several million rows, it can be done. It's extremely elegant. There's a version of it for Excel and a version of it for SharePoint. And it doesn't change what Excel looks like or what SharePoint looks like. It's a behind-the-scenes kind of activity. So if I stage data that can be refreshed, but if I stage a Power Pivot, it's suddenly transportable and can be stuck inside of a portal or kept on somebody's desktop, It's not big. You still don't want to email it around. You probably still want to guide somebody to a page inside of a business dashboard. But the nice thing about a Power Pivot is how often it gets refreshed, which data sources are inside it. They're all controllable by IT. Oh, and how often it gets used and by whom. It's possible to track all of that. So if a Power Pivot that everyone's using is getting stale, they can arrange to have it refreshed or negotiate with the people that own that data to go about finding a new way to collect some of that data if it might have been manually provided. It's small. It's not a replacement for analysis services. Analysis services can handle even bigger data sets, but it doesn't compress them as much. It has lots of other options for slicing and dicing and rebuilding cubes on the fly, mind you. But a Power Pivot is multidimensional. You can do all sorts of interactivity on it to your heart's content. And it's there with every copy of Excel and there with every copy of SharePoint. Now, who's heard of REST? I'm sorry, who hasn't heard of REST? There's no embarrassment with that. Okay. Developers, I would expect to hear to have heard about REST, but the rest of you, I would not necessarily, and there are lots of different audiences here. So REST, or RESTful Web Services, it's another kind of web service. The kind of web service that's best known is something called SOAP, Simplified Object Access Protocol. It looks a lot like a remote procedure call. So there's one URL that you have to call, and then you get a list of methods that are available for that URL, and then you send in an XML instruction in order to provide what you want, and you'll get the results back in the form of XML. It's designed to replace the way code behaves in a lot of languages. So it's a web service focused around emulating the way code behaves when one procedure calls another procedure. If you're not a if I just lost you, don't worry about that. Here's how REST works. Everything has a URL. Everything. So a piece of data, it has a URL that points to it and uniquely yet. A table has got a URL. A column in that table or a row in that table, keep going. You just keep adding slashes and extra specifiers in the URL. There's a method you can use for read and another method you can use for writing and so on and so forth. But the nice thing is it's a more web-style approach to doing web services. So imagine being able to reach in and grab a value out of a spreadsheet in Excel services by just referencing it as a URL. Those of you that are truly hardcore when it comes to BI or manipulating spreadsheet models ought to really, really like this. Those of you that are just dabbling might shrug, but trust me, the other people are excited. If I've got a custom client or I've got another spreadsheet and I need to reference something from far away and I just happen to know the URL to a cell in a spreadsheet, that's incredibly handy. I don't need to write any kind of code of any kind. I just need to point to it. And everything inside of Excel is accessible using REST. So you can include data, both as a client and as a server. So you can include data in blogs inside of spreadsheets. It's really, really handy in terms of the options it opens for solution developers. Not even code type stuff. If you're a player, it's going to rock. Whoops. Let's try that again. A couple of things were done to accommodate this. This is the REST syntax. HTTP, site, subsite, then VTI bin. Everything in SharePoint is based on that. Excel REST.aspx, then you go to the document library, the file name, and then the model inside of there, and you'll grab the piece you need out of there. And a couple of things were done in order to accommodate this. The model now includes things like ranges, charts, tables, pivot tables. So that's slash syntax. You can use a named range to call an object. And dollar formats, that supports workbooks, HTMLs, all kinds of fun things. Excel spreadsheets are legitimate, true data sources. There's always been a conflict between people that view the world in terms of data and people that view the world in terms of documents. The nice thing the Excel people have been doing consistently over the past couple of releases, but I think they really nailed it in this one, is they've unified data and documents. Excel can grab all kinds of data, and it can provide all kinds of data. And if you needed to interpret and aggregate and make some data make sense before you want to hand it to someone else, guess what? A spreadsheet does a really good job of that now. There's a new API for getting at things inside of Excel services based on JavaScript. So you can have new interactive applications inside of SharePoint. The spreadsheet doesn't have to be all but read-only when you're up there. You can display specific content based on user-defined feedback. You can right mouse click, go to web, link data between web parts and other kinds of fun things. In terms of administering it, PowerShell everywhere, tools inside of SharePoint Central Administration, it's a lot faster to get running and made available to everybody. Now, some of you might have heard about Office web applications. In fact, this is actually one of my favorite pieces because, I see a lot of possibilities here in a lot of different ways. But there are Excel services is all about making the contents of spreadsheets, be they models or data, accessible in lots of different ways over the web. Office web applications make spreadsheets interactive and editable over the web. Both of them rely on the same underlying engine, but there are different ways of getting at that engine and working with an Excel spreadsheet from a browser. So here is a set of what is going to be supported inside of the Office web apps and what's going to be present inside of Excel services in SharePoint 2010. You can view spreadsheets using both. Excel services can certainly view a spreadsheet. The Excel web app will be necessary if you want to edit that spreadsheet. Same thing with collaborating on it and different people editing different pieces of the spreadsheet at different points. There's that level of locking available up on a website because there are ways to secure pieces of a document that aren't possible if it's a normal on somebody's disk. Okay. You can create new spreadsheets using object models or techniques in both forms. You can publish objects so that there's one version of the truth that can be consumed by lots of other people. That's only in Excel services. The visualizations, the grabbing of external data, anonymous access, that's all in both. The secure store. The secure store used to be known as single sign-on. Terrible name for it because it meant something different. It's a secure credential cache so that based on your SharePoint logon, we can fetch other securely stored criteria on your behalf. So, for example, the credentials you use to log on to SAP, those can be stored in a secure way inside of the SharePoint secured store. Those can be summoned only by someone logged into the portal as you. And they'll be fetched at the last moment and then used to fetch data on your behalf as if they were you. That's only in Excel services. Power pivots, just Excel services, the web services API, the REST API, user-defined functions work in both places. Add-ins and macros, neither place. Now, nobody uses ProClarity in the room, apparently. But for posterity's sake, Performance Point Services and Excel Services are the inheritors of a lot of the technology that was present in ProClarity. Decomposition trees came from ProClarity. Interactive charts, that came from ProClarity. Sets and asymmetric layouts, custom and manual sorts, pivot table writebacks, those were all ProClarity technologies. In general, the goal is to move all that key functionality into Excel services and Performance Point services in SharePoint and in SQL Server using Power Pivot. Power Pivot's SQL Server-based technologies. It comes from the same people that brought you analysis services. The product will continue to be supported, but it's not going to be evolved. All the cleverness from the people that were on the the ProClarity team have moved into other product groups. And again, The idea is for you to need fewer products that work together nicely rather than buying product after product after product after product. If the goal is SharePoint world domination, SharePoint just needs to become all the more valuable with every release, and that's absolutely happening this time. All right, there are a lot of resources out there. I'm going to jump to a demo in just a moment and then take some questions. But if you go to sharepoint.microsoft.com, ton of information on SharePoint. The Business Intelligence Technology Center, go to technet.microsoft.com/BI. That's actually the U.S. English version. I can't believe that's the one in here. I apologize. I do happen to know based on past. Huh? Yeah, I know. Well, you could do NL, yeah, NL instead. But the truth of the matter is, if you just go, if you take strip away this part, EN-US, it'll look at your browser culture and adapt properly. So if you do it from here, you'll probably get NLN. Well, if I do it, that won't happen. We don't look at where you're coming from. It looks at the culture of your browser. The SharePoint Business Intelligence Center, that's technet.microsoft.com/SharePoint, EE692578.ASPX, oh, dear God. And the SharePoint Tech Center, it's also in there. Actually, I would recommend searching for a lot of this stuff. Sorry?
The slides are going to be on the internet too.
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Okay, click.
Yeah. So what happened was, I must confess, yeah, this was a cut and paste error. Yeah. Should have realized to edit that. I'm normally extremely sensitive about that kind of stuff. SharePoint Insights. So there's a great blog from the SharePoint, not the SharePoint, well, SharePoint and Friends, called blogs.microsoft.com/SharePointBI. They post to it pretty regularly. There's good stuff in there. The Performance Point people have their own blog. The Excel people have their own blog where they talk about both client and server technologies. And with that, I'm going to pop. Remember, your feedback will be important, but what I'm going to do now is pop out of PowerPoint and go into demo land. Nope. Don't need to save this. All right. We've got some limitations here. I have a 1024 by 768 screen. There's not a thing I can do about that. We're going to make the best of this. So this is a sales dashboard for a particular team. And remember, mixing structured and unstructured data is a very, very handy thing. So these are announcements. You've got sales tracking data with individual salesperson's performance relative to their quotas. You've got a collection of proposals and bids that have been made so far in the current quarter. And then finally, here are the sales bid KPIs. So these aren't very complex key performance indicators. This is just using standard older style KPI technology. And what we notice is that total bids, we're not in trouble yet, but we're certainly not green, but at least we're not red. But we ought to do something about this. And since everything else is doing fairly well, we probably have a problem with the aerospace industry. So what I'd like to do is jump over to the financial overview dashboard used by the CEO and a bunch of other people. And let's go ahead and analyze what's been going on out there. Now, I need to refresh this in order to go back to the way it looks at the beginning. You've got a lot of things on these scorecards. You've got the overall strategy map, sales by company, sales by channel. All sorts of information has been aggregated together to give you a picture of how the company is doing, including inventory and sales gross margin growth and a lot of other things. There are shared documents for a lot of different purposes, but here's the other thing I wanted to show you. We were talking about Visio services before and strategy maps. I glossed over that pretty quickly, but let's definitely take a peek at it now. Strategy maps are great. This is rendered with Visio services. I can open it in Visio, and these will point down to drill down objects to your heart's content. but we see that the overall goal of the company is to increase 2010 shareholder value. They want to do this by reducing cash assets, expanding retail, reducing operating costs, and expanding to new verticals. Now, this is not a dead diagram. Every one of these nodal points is actually, every one of these shapes is actually querying data to figure out how well it's doing. So we're doing great in terms of reducing cash assets and expanding retail. We're a little bit iffy on reducing operating costs. And if we want to find out how that's defined, well, look at our supply chain, although that's not the problem. Reducing IT costs, we might have a problem here, total operational costs. That's derived from the fact that we've got issues with leveraging IT infrastructures and the warehouse operation and so on. So it gives you a way to figure out where this data is coming from. And if you want to drill down and look at the data, you absolutely can. We have an issue with expanding to new verticals. We're actually in the danger zone there. And that gives us some information to make use of. In fact, aerospace was probably one of those areas we were hoping that we could expand to. And, well, as it turns out, we're not doing that well right now. Well, let's see how we're doing in a couple of other ways. These are all connected. We've got common filters across the board. So I click here on product sales by company, and now I've got the sales amount and quota chart report. So the sales amount is in blue, the quota's in red, the total's in green. How about we go ahead and manipulate this a little bit? These aren't exactly the numbers I want to see, but the data I've got is right here. So let's go ahead and select the measures. I don't really want to look at quota amount. I do, however, want to look at margin. So let's grab the gross margin and throw that in here too. And for that matter, let's go ahead and mix it up a little bit. I mean, that is the kind of stuff I want to look at, but I want you to see what other kinds of things you can do while we're in here. So for some reason, I want to turn this into a line chart. That's nice and easy. If I want to take a look at this from the point of view of a grid, also not a problem. Very, very easy to do. And if you want to just reset it and go back to the way the designer intended, voila. You don't get lost. Now, on top of all of that, how about we do, let's see, I want to come here and drill down. These are sales in Contosa, North America, so let's drill down to product by product category name. And bam, there we go. So we've got audio, TV and video, computers, cameras, cell phones, you name it. All kinds of fun things here. There was a reason I was going to... All right, so I'll tell you what, let's do this. I'll right-click on computers right here. And why don't we do a decomposition tree? Check this out. Instant decomposition tree. Give it a moment to render. Hopefully not more than a moment, or else I'll be very embarrassed. Okay, 448 million in computers. A lot of it's in laptops and projectors and so on. Desktops, we're not doing so well. I'm a little bit troubled by this. Let's go ahead and expand this. By default, we look at the different product names that are out here. How about we come here and, not right-click, but just do a regular click, and we'll expand here based on individual products. Yeah, that'll work. So we've got different kinds of ranges, different kinds of classes. Actually, if I remember correctly, I should not have expanded based on that, but I should have expanded, we have a lot of different options. The main point is, if you want to expand based on geographic region, sales territory, promotions going on, it's very easy to do so. In fact, there. Doing really well in Maryland, around the Washington, D.C. area, although not so much Virginia, and that's a little bit strange. We might have differences based on just sales. Don't expect everyone to know this, but the states of Maryland and Virginia, they're right next to each other, and they surround Washington, D.C. If I see that Maryland and Virginia are doing very differently, it might be that it's not some sort of structural problem. It's the same economy. If there's a huge difference between them, it's probably one salesperson isn't doing as well as another salesperson. They're all intertwined in terms of behavior and priorities and so on. There are a few tax differences between those two states, but this is definitely food for thought. I want to be mindful of the time and leave time for Q&A, so I'm going to move directly to, let me see, one more thing that I think will be a heck of a lot of fun. Let's go ahead and go to... I remember now. Back over here. I want to show you slicing in a couple of the things that were done in Excel. And again, I've got a few challenges in navigation here that I hope you'll be kind to me on. There we go, ad hoc data queries. This will be something resembling fun. Ad hoc data queries. It's possible for you in Excel to go ahead and locate data in a particular place and publish its location in a common way. So if I come here to ad hoc data queries, here's Contoso Retail Data Warehouse Inventory. Assuming this is all about getting ready to make a bid or create pricing for a particular client in the aerospace industry. So we've gone ahead and we've connected to particular data from a particular location, and we have a pivot table. That pivot table at the moment, however, is empty. We have not defined it yet. So as soon as this finishes loading and the hourglass goes away and I see a panel over here on the right-hand side, we will begin. I want to get you to the point where you see things like slicers. I think you guys some of you have seen pivot tables plenty of times over the years. They've been around for a while. They're lovely, lovely things. All right, let's see. I think we want product. Actually, let's do inventory on hand quantity. Right there. And let's also do product. Yeah, there it is. Okay, so now we have a quick, everything was loaded into RAM. We can slice and dice lots of different ways. You want to open up computers and see which kinds of computers. Looks like we've got 845 desktops in inventory right now. If we're going to make a bid on a bunch of desktops, we may need to do a special order to have some stuff built in a just-in-time fashion. Now, that's all well and good. Let's get a little bit more interesting about it, though. So let's see. If we click here, oh, wait, I want to do one more thing. I want to go ahead and grab geographical hierarchy. Except in this case, I'm just going to make it a row label. So now you've got geographical hierarchy based on, and then within that, different products and such. Now, if I click anywhere inside of this, I see pivot table tools. And one of the options I've got is to insert what's called a slicer. So let's go ahead and grab a couple of these. I think the first one I want is under product category called product category name. And the second one I want to grab is under region territory, and it's called geographical hierarchy. There it is. We click OK and give it a moment or so, and we'll see a couple of slicers appear. Bam. All right, this is probably overkill, but that's all right. I've got lots of different ways of slicing through this data, and whatever I click on is going to result in well, take a look at it. If I want to look just at the United States, everything will collapse down to just the U.S. If I want to look at just computers, everything will collapse down to just computers. If I want to choose particular cities or particular states or provinces, same kind of thing is going to happen. And then I still have the ability to expand and collapse, but everything that you see is being sliced in advance. So you get the best of both worlds by doing this. There's actually a long list of things that are happening in BI, and it's simply too much for one single session. But if you come away thinking, one, center of the BI universe is SQL Server and Performance Point and Excel Services, you get it. If you think that bringing it all together inside of SharePoint using fewer tools, you get it. And familiar tools that people already understand, that's a big deal too. And then finally, what's the other big deal? Massive amounts of data. Just because it's in SharePoint doesn't mean it's not going to scale massively. We've got the backing of the SQL Server investments to those of us that want to make use of SharePoint BI technology. Power Pivot's there. Analysis Services is there. Reporting Services is there. And thanks to the work that's been done with the secure storing with claims-based authentication, it all works together in a smooth and seamless way. And there's a story whereby smart clients can extend value to all of that at the same time. So simple, familiar, and extremely powerful is pretty much what's happening with Microsoft and BI going forward. Thanks. And if you've got questions, by all means, if you're close by, you can just tell me and I'll repeat your question. Otherwise, please hit the microphone since the session is indeed being recorded. No questions? Come on, I can't have been that thorough. Yes, sir.
I have one question.
Yes.
You mentioned very shortly in one of the slides, write-enabled queues. Is that supported in the whole SharePoint BI environment?
Not 100%. Oh, I'm sorry. The question is, what about write-enabled queues? I don't remember the exact details, but there are some scenarios where write-back is now supported, not everywhere. Certainly, power pivots, I think, are designed for offline or disconnected use and so on. But if you talk directly to analysis services, I believe there is a write-back story. I'm not 100% certain on that. Yeah. The buzzword or the mantra being uttered by the performance point team or the BI team in general is BI for the masses. The goal is not to impress BI geeks, although I think there will be some sources of being impressed anyway. The goal is to make sure that everyone can make use of BI technology, at least at some level, if not considerably more than that, in order to make sure everybody is working more smartly, if that's a word. Is smartly a word? Not sure. But anyway, any more questions? Yes. I think in the demonstration so far, the charts I was showing you came from.
But do they look the same?
No, well, they don't look exactly. Most of it was coming from Excel. I think there might have been one Dundas chart on there. On the sales side, the one where you had the criteria and then the bar charts as to how each particular salesperson was doing. I may be mistaken about that, but there's one Dundas chart embedded in this demo someplace. I think it's that one. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much for your time.